B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. It's Beetle, Hardy, and Glasheen today. Syracuse guy. By the way, Hardy, I just looked up where Clark County, Nevada ranks. Biggest school districts in America, it's number 5 on the list.
So it's got to be New York number 1.
It's New York, L.A.
Chicago.
Miami-Dade is number 4 with 357,000 students. And Clark County, Nevada is the 5th biggest district in the country with 327,000 students.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Broward County is 6th in Florida, and then it's Houston, Hillsborough. It's a lot. See, Florida has a lot of the regionalized districts, so they've got these massive school districts down there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see outside of New York what the next biggest one is in the Northeast, and it's... Philadelphia is 18th on the list. And I don't see Boston, but I'll tell you what it is. I can look it up for you. I'll tell you what it is. If you're into that type of thing. Let's go to your calls, though. 617-779-0985. Let's start with this one on Below Deck from Dan in Cambridge. Hey, Dan, what's up?
Oh, no.
Hey, yeah, he said he hadn't seen it yet, but I had something else. You guys, I think this is hilarious. So I got a friend I work with, okay? And he's like... he's a boozer, pillhead, all this stuff. He's kept his job because he's convinced everybody that he has a lazy tongue. It's the funniest, most pathetic thing. Like, I don't know how low you can go. I mean, his life is spiraling out of control.
All right.
What's that all about, Hardy?
Well, he said it would make you laugh.
It's making Hardy laugh.
I'm laughing because Hardy's laughing.
Oh, my God. I like that Dan in Cambridge. That guy's funny.
Okay,
and he's got a good taste in TV shows, too. Dan... I would have watched Below Deck last night. Do you have any TV shows, Beetle, that you will, or anything that you will get in trouble in, you know, from your wife, spouse, roommate, whatever you call her, that you will get in trouble if you watch without her?
Oh, that's. There are shows we've watched together that we do watch together.
Like, if I watch Below Deck by myself, I would get in trouble. That's one that we're supposed... It's never spoken about, but, I mean, you screw up once at some point in a marriage, and you know not to do that again. So I... And there are certain movies that we're both looking forward to seeing. I know that if I watched it by myself, I would get in trouble. So I don't.
Okay.
It's really
I don't have one like right off the top of my head. No.
It's really just, you know, what marriage becomes at some point. You just don't want to get in trouble, you know? You're just trying to.
You just want to stay on the right side of the line.
You married, Glasheen?
Nope.
All right.
I will not be able to provide any insight.
You available?
No. Lady friend.
Unavailable.
Sorry. Bobby in the car. Bobby.
Sorry,
gals.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Bobby.
I just want to preface this by saying I'm one of those dumb, spoiled 25-year-olds that's known nothing but success and winning in championships in the Boston area.
Ooh.
But, yeah, I know that's probably bad. People who are obsessed with Tom Brady, other than the fact that he's, like, the greatest quarterback and greatest, like, football player ever, if anybody but Tom Brady started this season, people are just going to be upset about that, and they just need to get over it. Like, if you guys laid out the numbers right when I got on hold, but if Cam Newton gets the full $7.5 million that he could in his contract, that's the greatest thing to happen to this team since they signed Tom Brady. Like, they won another Super Bowl. And what's wrong with that?
See, this is what's interesting about that, is that if he were to make the $7.5 million and he does all of the things he needs to do, including winning the Super Bowl as a wild card team or a team that needs to play in the first round, it is going to make Bobby's generation of fans the most insufferable fan base in the history of sports.
No. More insufferable.
They've been crowned as the most insufferable. That is going to make it worse than it is, and it's going to be treated as if, see, it is our God-given right
to win
the Super Bowl, regardless of who the quarterback is.
That's going to turn them.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's going to be like 18 majors, Jack Nicklaus, untouchable. No one will ever approach that. I got you. And if I was hearing his point correctly, the one thing I would disagree with is he says, like, no one's going to be happy, but if Cam Newton, you know, wins it all, then, you know, that'll be okay. Does Cam Newton need to even take this team to the AFC Championship in order for Patriots fans to be satisfied with him being, like, a good move and the right thing to do and be happy with him being here? I mean, is that what... I don't think it needs to be anywhere near that good. I think a winning season, you know, making the playoffs.
Can you be in the divisional round instead of the wild card round?
Yes.
Can you be in the second week of the playoffs?
Can you go 1 week further than you went last year? If you do that, I think that's a win. And yes, there will be people who are still not satisfied with it. But to lose Tom Brady and not have anything ready to go until July, before the start of the next season, and it ends up being something that works so well that you not only make the playoffs, but, you know, either end up with a bye or even win around it. Yeah, I think that's enough. It's certainly I mean, it's tough to know without seeing it and see how things are going to shake down. But I'd have to believe you're making me say right now, how would I feel about that? I'd be thrilled with that.
Let's take one more before we hit a break, and let's talk to Tom and Newton. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. I just got a question for you on, you know, Cam Newton and the Patriots here. So the last few years, you know, for the most part, the Patriots have had a lot of trouble with those RPO-style offenses. And meanwhile, you know, Brady, as great as he is and was here and as many great throws as he made, you know, obviously speed was never his thing. So now you bring in a guy like Cam Newton, who's, you know, definitely an athlete and he's mobile and all those things. Do you think that, you know, Bill and McDaniels are sort of, you know, maybe even excited by, you know, being able to open up new running lanes and have a new,
yes,
you know, sort of playbook for the first time in forever? Because it feels
I do. Stop it there, Tom. I do. I think that they are very much on board with using Cam Newton to the best of his ability and doing things that they weren't previously able to do or looking to do because of who the quarterback was. Yes. I think we talked a lot before Cam Newton was signed about could he adapt and could he play within the offense. I think it's going to go more the other way. I think it's going to go more in the direction of Cam Newton, and they're going to tailor things to the quarterback. That's what I think is going to happen. I think Bill Belichick likes Cam's ability to run. He's talked about it glowingly in the past. And it makes things more difficult on the defense is what it does when you have a running quarterback.
Yeah, there's two.
And they're not going to take that away from him.
There's two types of praise that Belichick gives to opponents, and he praises all opponents. But there's the praise where he's just desperately trying to find something that they do well to make it look like it's not going to be, you know, a cupcake opponent. And then there are the guys who he really believes it. And with Cam, I think he really believed it. Obviously, now that he's with the team, but even before then, it's like, oh no, when he spoke about him, you could tell he believed every word of what he was saying about that guy.
Let's talk about the latest in the NFL on their planning, and should they push back a little bit? It doesn't appear that they're looking to do that, but should they? We'll do that and more of your calls. I see Jake in Boston on the line with a Stidham take. We always like those from Jake in Boston. That's coming up as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The former QB always always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. Let him sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who is always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand, Beadle, Hardy, Glasheen with you today. There's been a lot of conversation about the start of the NFL and whether or not the season should be pushed back by a month. 1 month seems to be the recurring theme that occurs with the people who are saying push it back a month. I just read a column on NBC Sports Boston that's up right now. Tommy Curran makes his case on that website for pushing back a month. But there's also this sort of attitude from the NFL to just keep pushing forward, to just keep pushing forward and doing what the NFL does. Ian Rappaport had a tweet just a couple of minutes ago that says an update on where things stand 18 days out from the start of the NFL. And by the way, it's really less than that because it's 9 days until rookies will report. Here's what Rappaport says. Almost everything is done and agreed to except for the number of preseason games and testing protocols. Does that not seem like sort of a big thing? You know, to say, almost everything is done except for preseason games. You say, okay, they'll figure that out. And then testing protocols. If testing protocols are not agreed to, what have you been talking about and working on? NFL and NFLPA.
Well, they got hung up on the preseason game thing. And, you know, once you get past that, then they can focus in on the testing protocol.
Oh, boy.
Seems like a big one. Testing protocol seems like a big one.
Here's what I want to know. What has actually been agreed to? Because they don't have an agreement on how they're going to handle face masks and face shields. We'll get to more on that later. They don't have an agreement on testing. They don't have an agreement on how many preseason games to play. It doesn't sound like they have it sounds like they have nothing figured out, if we're being honest. And I think Ian Rappaport maybe sort of, I don't know, carrying water for the league in this one here. Mm. Oh, everything's figured out. There's just a couple of small details like testing. Okay. No fans will be at training camp, but teams can have up to 2 fan events at stadiums this preseason with strict protocols if allowed. That, of course, is based on local rules wherever the team may be practicing and getting ready for the season. Mm. So that is a possibility, maybe an in-stadium practice that may be open to the public with a certain number of fans that are allowed in. Other notes from Ian Rappaport. He says where fans are allowed at games, they will wear face coverings. Actual training camp schedule of practices can be tied to the preseason game questions. So not there yet. And so I'm guessing that's a negotiating point where if we do away with another preseason game or do away with all of the preseason games, players will then be required to have X amount more practices that are not currently in the CBA because there's so many limits on that now. And the economics are not yet finalized either. Oh, really? Oh, so the money's not figured out? The preseason game's not figured out? The testing's not figured out? What do you have figured out? What have the two sides agreed to? To show up and play football? Like, okay. But anyway, Hardy, should they push back a month? Should they push this thing back?
I don't see what the point is. I think if you're in like one of these hot spots, then it may make sense. But you're pushing yourself into the fall when we've been told, and they think that maybe there's going to be a bigger wave, or a second wave in some of the colder climates. The one thing that we can say pretty definitively at this point is that they don't know what's going to happen. So I think you make your plans, and delaying the plans aren't necessarily going to do you any favors. I think you get out there, and if you think you can play and it's going to be safe to play, I don't know if it's going to be safe for a month from now. I think you probably invite as many questions as you answer by putting it off for a month, and I think the better course is to just try and keep on a schedule, set it, and if you need to change it, then by all means. But I don't know what problems you solve by pushing it off for another month. I really don't. And I don't think
they have the luxury of doing it. That's why I disagree with it. I'm sorry. You don't have that luxury right now. Unless you're just going to cancel a month's worth of games and you're going to drop four games off the schedule.
Which is different than delaying the start.
Right.
I agree.
That is.
That's different.
And now that, I mean, if that's what you want to do, then that's what you want to do.
Yes.
But I think it only gets worse from here. In fact, I think that you should realize that September will probably be better than October, and October is going to be better than November. So things might seem bad in some places, and you might have hotspot things going on right now, but this doesn't get better from here. Like, if you have the window in September, you should take it and you should be playing. Even if it's bad football, even if you're not as prepared for the season this September as you were last September, you've got to, I just think it's in their best interest, if they have hopes of the season, that they start when they can at the start of September. They should roll with it. And yeah, that might not be ideal for football reasons, but I think you just got to do it. I think you got to suck it up and do it.
If you're going to do it, and if you're not, you know, the all or nothing mentality is obviously not a great one, especially if leagues are going to be able to pull off some version of a season. You know, the NBA, Major League Baseball, they haven't played anything yet. So, you know, let's not start with our congratulatory things. But, you know, that's not an all or nothing. No, especially with baseball, they went with a severely reduced schedule and they're going to try and get that done. So it's better to have something. But I think if you're talking about delaying, you're inviting more questions into the equation, and I don't know that it helps you ultimately play a full season. Lopping games off the schedule, okay, yeah, you're reducing the risk by the amount of time that you have to, you know, the amount of time that you have to spend together. But again, it's probably going to be, for football, it's probably either going to be a season or not. I don't think there's much chance that they end up playing a reduced schedule unless they start and then realize they can't finish it. By design, I don't think they're going to end up playing a reduced schedule. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Jake, who's in Boston. Jake, what do you got on Jarrett Stidham today?
Hey, boys, first, before I get into Stidham, did anyone catch the Revs game last night and the stream that ditched out in the 90th minute in extra time in a one-goal game? I mean, we almost had a Heidi game last night in the MLS, which is embarrassing considering they've had a month to prepare for it.
That was only on the stream, though. I was watching it on whatever Xfinity channel it was on, and nothing dropped out.
Correct. You got it. I don't. I was hoping NBC Sports Boston would show the game last night, but obviously they didn't. Number two, you know what I found out yesterday about our favorite wannabe falling socialite star, Kennedy Stidham?
Hold on. I got to get myself mentally prepared for this. Okay, let's hear it. Lay it on us.
And by the way, just to preface all this, Jake called yesterday, and I was very upset that he dared compare the problem that is Kennedy Stidham with Giselle. He said that she was, you know, and Jake, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
no.
your point was something like, she's as big of a problem as Giselle. And I said,
Hold on. How dare you?
She
just give Jake the credit he deserves, which is that he has been a leader in this field since the very beginning.
I got some information sent to me today via email where I'm starting to go over to Jake's side on this.
Giselle is a paid woman, Hardy.
What?
Giselle's net worth is higher than Tom's. She wears the pants in that relationship. They're a power couple. I'm totally fine with Giselle because Giselle was famous before Tom. Now, Kennedy and Linda Holiday are hanging on to their men for social clout. Now...
Okay.
Yeah, there was the Linda Holiday tangent yesterday.
Okay, what else?
That's why they signed Cam Newton, by the way, Beetle. Linda Holiday's idea.
Kennedy Stidham had 20... count them, 20 bridesmaids at her wedding in their bridal party. 20. Now, the real question isn't whether or not Stidham's wife is the problem, because if you have 20 bridesmaids, you are narcissistic enough to think 20 people worship you that much to spend whatever they spent on that wedding to go and actually attend. And by the way, I sent this to you, Hardy, so you have the images.
This is what I'm referencing. I didn't know that was you who sent this to me. The photos of the 20 bridesmaids. They're kids. You know, it's a big party. Come on.
Yeah, that is an absurd absurd, an absurd bridal party. The question isn't whether or not the wife is the problem, and it looks like, and thankfully people at One Patriot Place listen to this show and maybe have caught on to this over the last 6 weeks or so since I've been on it. The question is whether this was timed to coincide with their anniversary, because Cam Newton just magically appeared as they were celebrating their one-year anniversary. And by the way, do we think any of these beat reporters are going to go into Belichick's first presser of the season and ask Bill about these questions? Or are they just going to keep getting laid off and get beat by a sports talk radio caller? I'm out, boys. Have a great weekend.
I got nothing to add.
No, I start to get a little swimmy-headed about midway through most of Jake's calls.
Yeah.
And this time, it was his own fault, because while he was talking, I went back and looked at those photos of the wedding. And that's enough to make anybody swimmy-headed. My God.
Leader in the field, Jake in Boston. Let's get to headlines and get you covered on that front.
T-Bone brought up a great point. Can you imagine the bill on that rehearsal dinner? I mean... Oh. I think you just get a couple of, like...
It's got to be 100 people, right?
Well...
Easy.
I think there are 10 groomsmen and 20 bridesmaids, so you've got a minimum of 32. You've got parents. You've got... I can't believe there are...
Significant others.
Oh, significant others. Jesus Jones, you're right. I at that point, don't you just get, like...
They're all children, so, you know, they brought, like, their boyfriend.
Grandparents. The 10 groomsmen had options.
Wait, there are only 10 groomsmen, but there are 20
that gets lost
bridesmaids?
In this. 10 groomsmen.
Well,
so each groomsman had a gal on each of his arms.
Probably. That's probably why they had to do it like that. But
wow.
Blasheen brings up a good point. 10,
who are, so really
10 groomsmen is a problem in and of itself.
But I have,
you know,
a lot
twice
in
the problem.
How many
is
you have in your wedding?
20 bridesmaids. How many groomsmen?
Hardy had a small wedding. You had a very small wedding.
I had a best man, and my wife had her two sisters stand with her. That's it. Wait, it's, you know, that was it.
So okay.
That was all.
I don't even know 10 people.
I think I had like 6 or 7.
Yeah, but you got married when you were like 25 or something.
Yeah.
Dumb.
I was 25. Let's get to headlines, shall we? And we'll be back. By the way, we need to talk about something as it relates to the NFL and pushing forward. They apparently have a lot of confidence after completing the draft on time. We'll hit on that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
No, just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Remember the NFL draft, Hardy? You remember the draft, right?
Oh, yeah.
It happened.
It was... They pulled it off. NFL.
Yeah. Amazing.
All systems go. Nothing's stopping us.
So apparently, because the NFL pulled off the draft and was able to have it, because of that, they apparently have some real confidence in what they're doing going forward. This, according to, there was an anonymous NFL person quoted in a story this week that said, you know, the worst thing that's happened is the draft went off without a problem. And it's sort of like, see, we can operate within these times. Should that have given the league any sort of confidence?
That is the dumbest thing. If there is anybody at the league level who thought better of themselves more than a day or two after the fact. Right. You pull off the NFL draft. It was complicated. You had Zooms. You had guys in studio. You had Goodell in his basement. go ahead, take your little victory lap around your own house or office for a day or two. But if it extended out any more than that, and they said to themselves, you know what? We're going to be able to open camps on time. We're going to be able to start the season on time. We're going to be able to do this and this. Why do you think that? Well, we did the draft. That would be the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Doing the draft has nothing to do with anything that is actually difficult to pull off with regard to coronavirus. So what? A bunch of people stayed home. That's yep. What did you and, pull and off? What did you
and here's
do?
Here's the quote, by the way. Here's the quote. It's from a head coach. I just went back and rechecked Mike Florio's story on Pro Football Talk. It's one NFL head coach has expressed misgivings about moving forward so quickly at a time when the pandemic has created so much uncertainty. Here's the quote. The worst thing that happened, the coach said, was the draft was a success, so the commissioner thinks he'll be right on moving ahead toward the season.
Well, that's a coach's opinion. It is different than a league source.
It's still a head coach. It's still one of the NFL's head coaches who also went on to say, quote, I'd love to be told what we can and cannot do so we can plan and figure things out. When the league office sets boundaries, they just think you magically know what to do.
I just hope somebody at the league level recognizes that for the foolishness that it is. So if anybody's actually thinking that way, they'll raise their hand and say, hey. Doing the draft, yeah, it's great. We're able to do it. So what? The big deal.
They all did it from home. Everyone was at home. The commissioner was at home.
It's got nothing to do with having a preseason. Hell, it's got nothing to do with opening training camps. It's got nothing to do with any of that. Stop. Yep, but there has been an attitude, and if not spoken of at the league level, let's just say supporters of the league and football in general.
Scott Zolak?
What? Who said that? What? Is he here? You know exactly where I'm going with this.
I knew right where you're going.
What?
They'll do it. They're the NFL. They're the best.
NFL's going to play. They're not canceling anything. They're going to do it. May not be their decision. I mean, they can say whatever they want. More players start questioning, like, the wisdom in all this. Wait, we have to do this, and this because, and we're gonna, and what's gonna happen to us if we don't wear the mask and if we do break protocol and this and that? Well, should we even be playing? There's a couple of players saying it already. How many players have to say it before the union steps up and says, "Hey, this isn't safe. We're not gonna do this." I understand you want to. I understand there's a lot of money at stake. TV, forget about tickets, just the TV money alone. I understand you want to, but can we? Should we?
There's some comments from J.J. Watt about what he wants to do and doesn't want to do that we'll get to at the top of the noontime hour. Coming up next, we'll get to this date in show history.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What do we have today for this date in show history? Now, July 10th.
Glasheen, have you heard this segment before?
I have not.
All right.
Doesn't listen to the show.
Loyal listener.
Good to know.
Loyal listener. This is what we're doing, Glasheen. We are going back and looking at things that happened on July 10th in the history of this show. All right? So only things that happened on July 10th. You understand? You're with me so far?
Since the launch of the station or since...
Zolak and Bertrand.
Good God.
I'm just clarifying. This date in show history. Show, right.
Well, no, I think it's a legitimate question.
Not time
well,
slot,
it would be this date in station history if it weren't about the show. Or this date in time slot history.
All right.
I do know not to call you guys the midday show.
Why not?
Well, the 2 to 6 program.
No, there's nothing wrong with saying the midday show. It's just that Felger and Maz developed a habit of never, ever saying the name of the show.
Got it.
It was always the midday guys or the midday show.
Yeah.
You know, it does have a name.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Right.
Anyway, on this date.
Looking forward to it.
Four years ago.
For a Syracuse guy, Glashine's got a lot more wit than most others. That's what I would say.
He's got a little salt to him.
Yeah, I like that.
I like it too.
First impressions.
Yeah.
Not like Kaufman.
Oh,
Jesus. Jesus. Why do you got to do that? Kaufman gets salty, but just at the wrong time.
Yes.
Like, now you get salty? Now you're going to be a prick? Now's not the time. 2016, this is 4 years ago, Pokemon Go was sweeping the nation, and we didn't get it. So a caller explained it to us. Here's what it sounded like.
Okay.
This is how it works. So how it works is like, you know, like you take a picture of yourself when you see yourself, right?
Well, yeah. Okay,
what
there
it
I
does
am.
Is now, exactly. So what it does now is... You're a Pokemon guy, whatever, I don't know that, but you're a Pokemon guy, you buy Pokemon balls, and you literally walk around with the cell phone, and it's showing you real world like you would in a camera phone. And as you're walking, there are these little digital animal creatures that are floating around wherever you are. You can be in the toilet. My friend just texted me and said he found one in the toilet. Another guy said he was taking a shower, saw one in the corner of his shower, and you throw a Pokemon ball.
So he had his phone with him in the shower?
Yeah, well, he had it in the bathroom, and it buzzes.
You get an alert.
It buzzes.
Like, hey, go find the Pokemon.
So yeah, exactly. So he ended up getting out of the shower, and he looked, and on the wall of his shower when he was outside, he saw the Pokemon, so he threw a ball.
A little pervert.
What you can do also is you go to landmarks anywhere across the world, like actual, like, you know, Bunker Hill Community College that, you know.
Correct.
That's a landmark? You know, you go to landmarks like Bunker Hill Community College. Wait, what? What, that's, you know, a landmark now?
Famous landmarks.
I mean, the Bunker Hill Monument, that might be a landmark.
Famous monuments all over the world, like Curry College Bookstore. What? What the hell is he talking about?
Oak Grove Tea Station.
The hell are we talking about?
The donkeys inside a Stop and Shop in Dedham. What? I don't understand.
Oh,
I still don't understand.
What the hell?
All right. Our former intern, Colin, had just finished up on this date.
Colin, 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, very good, Beetle.
Yeah.
Which landmark did he attend?
Colin is a proud graduate of the University of Massachusetts.
Oh,
nice.
There we go. But he called in, I guess. Yeah, because he wouldn't have been here in July. He wouldn't have just finished up and still been here July 10th. So
so this was while he was an intern on an off day.
No, he was all done, but he called into the show.
Why would he be all done?
He could have still been an intern, but
he was a summer intern.
He called in. Not when he was here. He called in as a caller.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So like he wasn't working on this particular day as an intern, and then he decided that he was going to call in just as any old caller.
I don't know. This is intern Colin calling the show. That's what I know.
Okay. Calling the intern. Go.
Go.
Hey, good morning, guys.
God.
All right, so I got a lot of basketball thoughts.
What's funny?
Go.
Oh, nothing. All right, so first of all, let's point out a glaring contradiction in the NBA right now. So NBA media rips Kevin Durant for going to the Warriors, right? Why is that? Oh, it's soft. He wants to win. He's putting winning above everything, blah, blah, blah. Kyrie Irving leaves the winning team, and we rip him, too. So I don't know what can these guys win or what?
Can you never call again?
So mean.
That's one of the worst calls I've ever heard.
Ah, come on.
It still stands up as a bad call. Can these guys win or what? What? What's your problem?
Talk about it.
And we rip him too. So I don't know what
So they're showing remarkable consistency in that guys are getting ripped. What?
I'm sorry. What? I don't know what. Can you?
Poor Colin.
I just like how he's airing a grievance against NBA media. Nothing we had said.
Can these guys win or what?
What? No, I'm going with what. Not in the what that you want. I just, what? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Can they catch a break, I think is what he meant.
Maybe. Oh, can they?
Can they win?
I see what you're saying. See, it took Glashine to decipher it for me.
Yeah,
okay. So not winning basketball games, just win at this whole.
Leave these guys alone.
Yeah.
Oh, Kyrie.
All right. I get it. Shaughnessy told his famous story about an invader in his home. Do you remember this one, Beetle? This was 2018.
Good evening.
I don't listen enough.
Do you guys kill bats when they're in your house?
No, Dan, we save them.
You're not supposed to kill them. They eat mosquitoes.
Jesus, what do you live inside one of those propane tubes?
Not the point.
Mosquito magnet?
Oh, no, he's saying that. You know, whenever you get a bat in the house, what do you do? Well, I don't know. It happened once 25 years ago.
No. Way more than that. I get a tennis racket, and I do kill them.
How often does it happen?
Wait a minute. What?
Wait a minute.
In Newton,
you just found something out about
wildlife,
Dan Shaughnessy, that he chases bats around where? Like your attic?
They come down.
From where?
How often?
Chimney. Could it get through a little screen? When it's very hot. When it's very hot.
A little screen where? Like your back door?
They can fit through the top of the pencil head. You know, they can make themselves very small.
Give me an idea.
That's a lie.
Give me an idea.
Talk to any bat person.
Give us an idea as to the frequency.
There were years it'd be like four or five. You step out of the shower, he's on the other side of the curtain. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
But if I had four or five bats come into my home in the course of a year, I would move, and then I would go back and I would burn the house down. And then I would move again just to be on the safe side.
Do you know how small, I looked it up, how small of a hole it takes for a bat to get into your home?
He said the size of a pencil eraser.
According to this story, it's the size of a dime.
Good grief.
That's what it takes. So he would get bats in his home through various holes, vents, screens, whatever.
How is it not happening to everybody then?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think there's a large bat population here, number one, Hardy.
I saw them two nights ago.
You see them. Yeah. I mean, you see them from time to time. Yeah. I mean, but I don't think, like, have you seen down south at night where, like, the swarms of bats move? Have you ever seen those videos?
No, I've seen it.
Like in Texas, like out in the middle of nowhere?
No, I saw it once in New Mexico when I lived there, and there was a bat colony that came out at this time every night. We watched that. That's pretty cool. But no, I don't want them in my home.
Good evening.
No, I don't. Good evening. No, not. And now that we know about the viruses they carry, oh man, I wouldn't be hitting that. I'd be gassing the attic, man. I would not be looking to swat it with a tennis racket. Maybe Dan has rethought his methods.
John Candy in the Great Outdoors. You know, you got
taking
the tennis
out the
racket.
Bats.
You got the waste basket over your head. You got the oven mitts on. Yeah. That's it for this date in show history.
The hell out of here, bat. I want nothing to do with you. Get out of my home.
Good segment.
Thanks, Brendan. Brendan.
No, I'm serious.
Brendan.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it sounded genuine.
Here's
really
the problem. Here's the problem with your name. And I have a good friend whose son is either named Brendan or Brandon, and I'm still not sure which. It's like a good friend of mine. Like we've spent like a lot of time in each other's homes. Our kids have played together a lot. I know our families know each other. I'm still not sure. Are you a
Brendan?
Well,
it's usually based on the first vowel in the name.
Thank you. But which is it?
Brendan.
Is it an E or an A?
I don't know.
For Glashine, it's an E, right? It's Brendan.
Yeah, Brendan.
Yeah. If it were BRA, it'd be Brandon.
Thank you, Beetle. I understand the difference between the two names, but is it Brandon? Brandon. They sound the same.
They're very close. Very similar. Very similar names, Hardy.
I think it's Brendan. All right.
All right, very good.
Got the headlines ready there, Brendan.
Yeah, let's do that.
Don't be afraid to throw a golf update in there.
Yeah, I got something, actually.
All right, good.
Oh, There it is. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.